Good morning, everyone. Welcome, welcome on a beautiful day. It's time for our hymn sing. And does anybody have one right away? A suggestion? Yes, I see Alita's hand. 314 in the garden. 1 and 4? 1 and 3. There's three verses. Okay, 314 in the garden, verses 1 and 3. Another suggestion? Yes, go ahead, Trudy. 348. And I heard 1 and 4?
Yeah.
348. Softly and tenderly, verses 1 and 4. 348.
Oh,
another request? 140. I heard 140. Great is thy faithfulness, 140 verses 1 and 3. Okay, I think 9:29, I think that's time to wrap up our hymn sing. Thank you so much. We'll continue with our worship service.
Thank you. Thank you, Colleen. As usual, it's always beautiful. Welcome, everyone, to the House of Faith United Methodist Church. We are glad you all came out today. We're a little light on people, but we're glad you came. If you could all just sign the red pew pads and pass them down the aisle for others to sign. It's a good way to learn the people next to you's name if you don't know it. But we want to count you that you're here. There are also blue cards, and they're actually gray cards, a lot of them, in the pews. If you have a prayer request and that you don't want to bring it up during joys and concerns, you can drop it into the collection plate at the back of the church. And we hope that everyone will come across for coffee fellowship afterwards. And then we have our January birthdays, and we would like to wish them all a happy birthday this month. Marion Ruffner, Mike Pastilli, Harold Hudson, Bill Klein, Lauren Munoz, Rebecca Wang, Ann Mickle, Gary Barlow, and Audrey Parra. Happy birthday to all of you. Parents' Night Out is going to be Friday, January 24th at 6 to 8:30. If you know any neighborhood kids or have friends or grandchildren, bring them along. They have a lot of fun. It's going to be fort building. And then we have the Bible study with Dina Barwick. If you haven't joined this, you ought to. She does a lot of research, and it's very interesting. We have a good group. It's only been 1 week already, but we're going through the book of Mark step by step, word by word. And it's interesting, very interesting. It's Mondays at 5 o'clock to 6:30 Pacific time. And if you would like to join, you need to either email Dina Barwick at dinabarwick@gmail.com so she can give you the how to get into the Zoom, because it is a Zoom. And if you don't want to email her or you're not comfortable with that, her phone number is 907-513-2111. And if you don't have that or whatever, come up and see me. I got it. Free Saturday movies. The next one is February 1st because of Winn-Dixie. And that will be in Faith Theater 2. And is that it? I think that's it. But I have a couple more announcements. The pastor's lunch will be on February 12th at Legend 8. In Cala Mesa, the cost is $15. You can sign up at the script table in the fellowship hall. And if you like to read, or even if you just like to have discussions, the book club will be meeting in the Camellia Room on February 18th at 10 o'clock. And they're discussing The Girl Who Drank the Moon by Kelly Barnhill and Wish by Barbara O'Connor. And also, one last thing. There are statements at the back of the church in the basket. We'd like you all to pick your statement up. They're in alphabetical order. You'll need those for taxes, I guess. And being a tax person, I know that you do. But most people can't deduct that anymore. But if you can, there you go. And if you don't pick them up, they're going to mail them. So only pick your own up. Don't pick up somebody else's, because that's against the law. Anyway, there you go with the announcements. And now, if you all stand as you're able for the call to worship. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding.
In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight.
My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke.
Because the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father, the son he delights in.
Our hymn is number 715, verses 1 through 3. Rejoice, the Lord is King.
Rejoice, the Lord is King.
the time for the passing of the peace. Greet your neighbors. Deb. Okay, now.
All right, let's welcome everybody on Zoom. We have.
David, can you let Brian and Janine in? Click on the admit button on the one on the right. The blue admit button. Yep, thank you.
All righty. We have our delightful worshipers on Zoom. Hello, Helen. So good to see you always. And June and Joyce. Joyce was not feeling well because of her eye infection and was quarantined. And she came out of it perfectly well. So welcome back, Joyce. And welcome, April and Bill. Welcome on iPad. And George, welcome. And we have quite a bit on Zoom today. We have Chris with us and Brian and Janine. Welcome, welcome.
If you want to raise your hand, if you have a joy or concern.
I think I had shared in the past about my sister, Judy, who has problems with pulmonary hypertension. The medications are working, and I just praise God for that.
Just want to share a quick joy. My nephew and his wife had a baby in late December, and everything's going well, but just a joy that we have a new child in the family, and it's my oldest brother's first grandchild. Okay. It's a little girl, Lila Alexandria. It's a tough thing for my brother. This is my oldest brother who lost his youngest son. He died last 2 years ago at the age of 27. So he and my sister-in-law are having a lot of mixed emotions, I guess you can imagine. They're so excited about their first grandchild, but at the same time, they wish that Adam could be there to be Uncle Adam. So every moment is just mixed with emotion. So prayers for
their way through this to find the joy instead of the sorrow. And thank you so much for keeping them in your prayers.
I got to say, my sister's last granddaughter was also named Lila. And I want to ask for extra prayers for Rachel. She's got a flu bug or something and just isn't feeling well. She's starting to get better, but takes a long time because she can't take other medications. So pray for her to get good rest and healing.
Hi, Alita here. I have a few requests. One is for Judith. She's really sick. I called her the other day, and I thought I dialed the wrong number. Her voice was so bad. She went to urgent care, no COVID or flu, but she has an extremely bad cold and very bad sore throat. So I've been bringing her food and leaving it at her doorstep. Also, prayers for Chris Smith. Hi, Chris. She's recovering from pneumonia, and it's been a slow go, so prayers for her. And also, a very serious one. My husband, as most of you know, repairs antique clocks. He has a client who she flew in to take care of her mother's house. Her brother or her older sister died last year. A few months ago, her father died. And now, a few weeks ago, her mother died. She flew in from Oklahoma because she had to take her brother off life support. She has said to my husband, she is struggling. Her name is Kathy Redersdorf, and she also has three young kids to take care of in the meantime. So please pray for her. Thank you.
This is Trudy Baird. First, thank you for prayers for Marty's family. We've all appreciated that. He went suddenly last week. But the one that you all have heard about is Jonelle. And unfortunately, God took her to be with him on, or maybe that's a good thing, on Friday. She died in her sleep. She had only been home from the nursing home about 3 weeks, and she had a very weak system. The power went out, but different things. Her nurse had told her she was doing very well, but it just didn't work out for her. And I'm glad she was home where she wanted to be. She didn't want to die in the nursing home. So thank you all for prayers for her, and I pray for her family. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Pat Shores. I just want to say how delighted I am that I get to go down to Mentone and visit my great nieces. We got to go down twice this past week because Emily is off doing some training independent with Ren. Ren and Emily have been in L.A. Trying to get Ren where she can crawl. And so Emily's, or Vian, has been home with a caretaker who is one of Allison's friends. And anyway, we got to go down twice this last week to see the, well, Emily was home yesterday with Ren and has to go back on Monday to L.A. for her treatment. But anyway, it was good for me to see the kids.
Is there anyone on Zoom? If there is, raise your hand and unmute. Okay. If you'll join me in the unison prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, in our troubles, your presence seems far off. And uncertainty creep in. But our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the future glory that shall be revealed to us. Even when our path may seem gloomy, you have plans to give us hope and a future. We surrender our limited vision and ask you to give us the wisdom and discern your will and the purposes of our life. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen. Let us continue to join our hearts in prayer in silence. This is a time we can be as honest as we can be before God. We can lift up our prayers without any hindrance to our Heavenly Father, who knows our need, who cares for us, who knows our loved ones and care for them as well. So let's all go to the Lord in silent prayer. Lord Jesus, we know there is no escape whatsoever from your presence. In our life, all throughout our life, you are there with us. Even in our death, you are with us. You are our eternal companion. You watch over us, you walk beside us, you know our path and lead us on, even when we struggle to see where we are and where we are going. Everything is clear to you, our past, our present, our future. So we yield to you, O Lord. You have the perfect knowledge of us, the perfect knowledge of our need, and you are the only one who can meet all our need. So we come to you, O Lord, acknowledging that you have everything under your control. You are our Savior. You are our sustaining Lord, you have provided for us, you have led us, you have protected us all along, and you are the very cause of our being here today. So we give you praise and thanksgiving for all you have done for us and for our loved ones. And because of your presence, O Lord, we can continue on, even when we do not understand our life circumstances, even when we cannot see where we are going. So, Lord, we come to you as we trust in your name, trust in your power, and we yield to you every care, every concern, every problems in our lives, in the life of our loved ones. And ask you, O Lord, to take the heavy burdens from our lives and give us the light burdens to carry the crosses that you have given unto us, that we may continue to carry out your will, bringing glory unto you, for serving you, glorifying you are the only reasons we are here for. So again, O Lord, as we gather together to worship you, we recognize that you are our sovereign God, and we yield to you everything we have and ask you to continue to use us. Use this church. Use this nation to fulfill your will. So now we join our hearts in prayer, praying together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Now it's time for the young at heart.
Today's story is Finding Beauty, written by Talitha Shipman. When you were a baby, everyone said, "What a beautiful girl." They saw your sweet little face, your button nose. You were perfect from the top of your head to the tips of your toes. But there's a secret not everyone knows. Beauty surrounds you if you look for it. In things big and small. You might find beauty by yourself or with a friend. You can find beauty in numbers and in stars too many to count. And then one day, because you have been looking, beauty will find you. It will be in everyone you meet. It will waft from windows and peek around corners. Beauty may whisper a poem, sing a song, paint a picture. Beauty will call from broken things too. And when you are sad, beauty will fly to you. In spring flowers, summer storms, falling leaves, and sparkling snow. And from the top of your head to the tips of your toes, you will find beauty wherever you go. The end. God created an amazing world, full of beauty and power. May we open our eyes and see it. Amen.
Our next hymn is Jesus, Savior, Pilot Me, number 509, verses 1 through 3.
Says to them, be still.
Scripture reading today is John 1, 43 through 50. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him, he said, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Good morning. I'm so happy to see you here in this beautiful sanctuary and also on Zoom. I know many of you had gone through quite an ordeal without power for many days, and the things that's going around in the air is really bad ones, like people are suffering from this flu symptoms that's a lot worse than usual symptoms that we see. So I pray that our good Lord will keep each of one of us in good health and spirit, that we can endure the cold and then what is going on, and that we may remain strong and healthy in the Lord. I also pray that we will have special visit from the Holy Spirit this morning, and that we may feel His presence with us, we may hear His voice speaking to us and giving us the message that we need to hear. One night, little Johnny's father came home with two colleagues from work. It was such an unusual occasion for the family to have dinner guests that little Johnny wanted to show how good a son he was and offered to help his mother in the kitchen. There wasn't much that little Johnny could do, but his mom didn't want to discourage him. "Thanks, honey. Would you help serve dessert at the end of the meal?" she said. "Of course, Mom. Anything you say." Little Johnny replied loudly so the guests could hear him. Toward the end of the meal, little Johnny proudly carried in the first piece of apple pie and gave it to his father, showing respect. However, his father passed it to a guest without hesitation. Little Johnny determined to demonstrate his love for his father in front of the guests. He went back to the kitchen and returned with a second piece of pie, giving it to his father again. As soon as his father took it from Johnny, he handed it to the other guest. Johnny found it hard to bear. Paused momentarily to process his dad's unexpected behavior and quickly reached a conclusion. He said, "Nice try, Dad, but the pieces are all the same size." Good intentions are not always perceived as good. At times, they may be viewed as bad. Many heartbreaks and broken relationships stem from misunderstandings. This holds true in our relationship with God as well. Our Heavenly Father always has good intentions for His children. Jesus once shared an illustration about a father. If a son asked for a fish, no father would give him a snake. If his son requests an egg, he would not provide him with a scorpion. A father knows how to give good gifts to his children, and this is even more accurate regarding our Heavenly Father. However, we sometimes misinterpret how God operates. Similar to the experience of Nathanael, Jesus, being from Nazareth, was part of God's plan. But Nathanael didn't perceive it that way before meeting Jesus. Thankfully, his prejudice quickly shifted after their encounter. We will explore Nathanael's two distinct perspectives before and after he encountered Jesus. We see so much negativity in the world today, and Nathanael inspires us to find something good, even in less than positive events. Today's Bible reading is from John 1. The chapter begins with the birth of Jesus and quickly jumps forward 30 years to the start of Jesus' public ministry. After his baptism by John, Jesus called his first three disciples, Andrew, Peter, and Philip. At this point in the chapter, Jesus just began his ministry, and not many, including Nathanael, knew about him. Philip excitedly shared that he met the one Moses and the prophet wrote about. However, Nathanael was skeptical and expressed strong doubt, asking, "Nazareth, can anything good come from there?" Note how negative his doubt was. Nathanael didn't even bother asking, "Who is this Jesus you're talking about?" He had never heard of Jesus and dismissed him outright because Nazareth was sufficient for his doubt. Why did Nathanael belittle Nazareth? Nazareth was located in a small basin surrounded by hills, which made the village difficult to access. Poor accessibility led to a lack of commerce outside the village. It was a small community with about 300 residents. Even today, Nazareth has around 7,000 residents. The primary source of water was Mary's well, and due to water scarcity, there was insufficient produce for sustenance. Consequently, the villagers lived in poverty. During Jesus' time, carpentry was more prosperous than farming. Yet Jesus grew up in that small, impoverished village because it was God's design that Jesus lived in obscurity until he began his public ministry. And God used the geography and characteristic of Nazareth for that. And of course, Nathanael did not know what God intended. Nathanael was a leader of the Jewish council, indicating he was a learned man, highly familiar with most towns in Israel, if not all. His reaction to Philip's invitation was not unusual. Nathanael was quite objective about the facts of Nazareth, and anyone would have responded similarly. Did you notice that when Nathanael met Jesus, Jesus' response was, "You are a true Israelite. There's no deceit in you," which means what Nathanael said to Philip, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" was his a true statement, was a very honest statement, because everybody knew Nazareth that way. Now, Nathanael's attitude changed completely after he met Jesus. "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel." Nathanael gave the highest acknowledgement possible, meaning, "Jesus, you are the ruler of Israel and the universe." This recognition and confession simply imply that Nathanael's thoughts and attitude toward Jesus were profoundly transformed. We know that Nathanael's transformation was true because Nathanael became one of the 12 disciples. Not many know this, but Bartholomew, and one of the, he's one of the 12 disciples, right? Bartholomew and Nathanael were the same person. One piece of evidence of that is whenever the gospel lists the names of the 12 disciples, if you look at the gospels, you know, they have places that list all 12 gospels, 12 names, right? Philip and Bartholomew always go together. Philip was the one who invited Nathanael to Jesus because they were friends and continue as partners in ministry. That's what it indicates. I mean, the Bible has all kinds of hints in there if you look at it carefully. So Philip and Bartholomew, they mention together, that means they are closely related to each other. And then in John 21, at the beginning of it, there were like 7 or 8 disciples together. And then it says Nathanael was a disciple. All of a sudden, Nathanael appeared, meaning he was one of the 12. So who is this Nathanael that we did not know about? He was a Bartholomew. Now, let's examine 2 different perspectives of Nathanael before and after he met Jesus. 2 different perspectives of Nathanael illustrate how differently non-believers and believers, or believers with doubt versus those with a strong conviction, view things. Once again, Nathanael was a knowledgeable man who understood the Torah and the prophetic books. It was why Philip told Nathanael he met someone whom Moses and the prophets wrote about, indicating that Nathanael knew what Moses, right? That's the Torah, the first 5 books of the Old Testament, and the prophets, book of all the prophets, wrote about. He was familiar with that. Philip was appealing to Nathanael's expertise in the Old Testament. If Nathanael had utilized his knowledge, he would not have reacted so negatively. Nathanael would have considered whether Jesus met the Old Testament's criteria to be the Messiah. Matthew 2:23 says, "Jesus went to live in a town called Nazareth, This fulfilled what was said through the prophets, that he would be called Nazarene. From the very beginning, God intended to send the Messiah, and every aspect of the Messiah's coming and his life were planned, including living in obscurity in Nazareth. However, instead of adhering to the Old Testament prophecy, Nathanael conformed to the public opinion of his time. How do we perceive the events happening in the world today, especially in the light of many troubling events? We can view them as Nathanael did, either before or after he met Jesus. I see nothing good in my life or in the world. I feel hopeless. This bleak perspective is rooted in facts and objectivity. I mean, look at all the negativity. I mean, we see with our own eyes. We just feel hopeless. On the other hand, we can examine things through the lens of faith. God is my sovereign king. I am chosen by God, and he has a plan for my earthly journey. I believe that everything happens for a reason. Regardless of how the world interprets current event, the ultimate outcome will fulfill God's will. Many rely on facts that appeal to human perception, but miss the deeper truth underneath. Nancy Ortberg, she's a pastor's wife who once served at the Willow Creek Church up in the Bay Area. It's one of the mega church. You may have heard of it. Nancy shared the following story. I was working as a nurse in a busy emergency room. We had a regular visitor, Billy, a cute 2-year-old with freckles and ruffled blonde hair. For a year, Billy had been in and out of the ER with what the doctors diagnosed as asthma. The source of the illness was the mystery to the medical staff. Billy hadn't had asthma as an infant. There wasn't a family history of asthma, and there weren't obvious signs of allergies that would cause it. But the symptoms were asthmatic. Sometimes we treated Billy and sent him home. Other times he would end up in the pediatrics ICU because his breathing was so labored. This continued for about a year, and the staff grew fond of Billy. He came yet another day with breathing difficulties, and one of the medical interns decided on a lock, that's in my tongue, to fool around, and look up Billy's nose. I don't know why they didn't do that. And this intern found a black jelly bean that Billy's brother had put there a year before. What came out with the jelly bean wasn't pretty. We had treated Billy for the wrong condition for almost a year. In the light of that circumstance, I put signs on the walls of the emergency room that said, "Look for jelly beans." When you are working in the ER, properly diagnosing a problem can be the difference between life and death. The medical professionals, despite their advanced education and extensive clinical experience, misdiagnosed Billy's condition. But they only realized this when someone with less knowledge and experience identify the root cause of the problem. People may be experts in today's troubles, see nothing positive, and be confident in their perceptions. However, they may lack the spiritual discernment to see God's power and purpose underneath. To the eyes of faith, troubles can be like birth pangs. I'll give you an example. Some futurist scholars predict that communist China, facing serious economic woes, may soon collapse, fragmenting into many countries. Due to the prolonged conflict, Russia has weakened significantly, even resorting to conscripting soldiers from North Korea. A South Korean scholar in international politics interprets the decline of these two neighboring superpowers as a sign of the potential collapse of North Korea, presenting a rare opportunity for the reunification of North and South Korea. I mean, I've never been to North Korea, but soon I may be able to. We all need the ability to discern, which we can cultivate by recognizing God as our ruler and king, just as Nathaniel did. Let us focus not on the negativity of our Nazareth, our life circumstances, where we live, where we belong, but on Jesus, who has everything under his sovereignty. Jesus, you are our King. Grant us discerning eyes to recognize your plan and purpose for us, even in our troubles. Amen.
Now would be the time for the presentations of our tithes and offerings. There's a plate at the back, and we thank you for supporting the church and all that it does. Now we'll have some special music.
Be Christ has promised you his wealth untold. Count your many blessings money cannot buy. Your rewards in heaven or your home on high. Count your blessings.
Dear Lord, we give you this offering as a token of our devotion, dedication, commitment, our resolution to love you and serve you. You have been with us all along and have filled our lives with countless blessings. Even with thousands of tongues, O Lord, we cannot name them all. So we give you this thanksgiving and bless you that we may continue to do all we can do to glorify your name. So, Lord, accept this offering and bless us and empower us in every possible way that we may be your disciples in the world today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our last hymn is Nearer My God to Thee, number 528, 1 through 3.
Even though it be a cross,
Let us pray. Lord, sometimes we just feel like Jacob, who felt like he was wandering restlessly without a place to rest and settle. But, oh Lord, in all our troubles, we can still draw closer to you, and we find joy in doing that. So, Lord, open our eyes to see you at work, even in our troubles, that through our trials, we come closer to you, and through our trials, you prove to be with us. And using our troubles, you even bless us. So, Lord, we trust in your loving care, your eternal presence in our lives, and your good and perfect will. You use everything happening in our lives to make something good to us. So we give you thanksgiving and glorify you, O Lord. So as we leave this place of worship and go back to our realities that may not be quite pleasant, but may we trust in you, in your plan and purpose in our life, and continue on as we believe in you, and that in the end, your goodwill will be revealed in us. So send us, therefore, in your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Be afraid.